Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? Hope everybody's having a, I know we're staying cool. That's good. My name's John. I'm an associate pastor here for those who don't know me. One of the things we like to do in the month of July, we like to give Chris a little bit of a break. He loves sermon prep. He loves to come up here and speak, but all of us who have jobs know, though, sometimes it's good to be able to get away. So during the month of July, I'll be speaking for a couple of weeks. We're going to have Ricky, and then I think Matthew here is going to close this out for us. So it's just a chance to give Chris a time off. He's actually vacationing for the next two Sundays. He's up in Missouri with his family, but then he'll be back the second two Sundays. So something that we've done. You definitely don't want to miss in a couple of weeks. For as many of you guys know, our youth last week were in at camp. So we had a youth camp, and they were able to go out and get away and spend 4 days just really focusing on the Word. And there were some looks like some amazing stuff. Got to see some pictures. I know they had a good time. Lori and I drove up to help bring the kids back. They looked exhausted. Had some boys in the car. They did not talk very much. In fact, half of them fell asleep on the way home. And Ricky could barely talk. So we're giving him a chance to get his voice back, get some things together. So in 2 weeks, you definitely want to be here. He's going to really talk about some of the things they learned, and they'll have an opportunity to share what they learned as well. So we just want to thank everybody again who really helped make that a reality and allow us to send every kid to camp. For very little cost. So thank everybody who made that happen. So as we dive in today, last year during this time, for those who are here, you may remember we talked about the heroes of faith. We looked through Hebrews and we really looked at the heroes in the Old Testament. So I wanted to keep on a similar theme, but this year I want to talk and turn to the New Testament. And so we're going to talk about the 12 apostles over the next couple of weeks. And, really dive into, who were these men? Why were they chosen? Why did Jesus feel the need to call 12? What was their purpose? And how did Jesus use them? And so to do that, we're really going to first start and talk about, why Jesus needed apostles in the first place. If we look at the scripture and we really are reading through it, at the time when he's starting to call these apostles, Jesus was actually really popular. He had a big following. There was a crowd. People were curious. They wanted to see this rabbi, this man who was performing these miracles and doing these things and teaching, and they wanted to hear what he had to say. And so people would flock to him by the thousands, right? If he was alive today, right, he'd be an influencer on Instagram, right? He'd have tons of likes on Facebook. He'd be trending, I'll get it out there, trending on Twitter. Right? I mean, people wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. People were listening to him. So he had just crowds. And we see in Luke 5, 1-3, it says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. I mean, he couldn't stay on land, right? They were on him. They were pressing him. They wanted to know. They wanted his autograph, right? They wanted selfies with him, right? I mean, people wanted to be around Jesus. So he had to push, he's like, I had to get away so that he could preach to them. But that didn't last. That wasn't going to last. Because while Jesus was sharing, right, and he was performing these miracles, Jesus had a message that he wanted to share. Right, and so as he started to really preach and dive into his message, a lot of people didn't like what he had to say. And so, he didn't stick with this populist approach of, "Hey, I'm going to tell you all the good stuff." Right? He started to share some things that was hard to hear, tough love, so to speak. And we can see this in John 6, 60-67. He says, "When many of his disciples heard," they said, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, knowing in himself that his disciples were grumbling about this, said to them, "Do you take offense to this? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who those were who did not believe and who it was who would betray him. And he said, this is why I told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father. After this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. They were looking for the Messiah, this guy who's doing these miracles, right? If he can heal the sick, if he can raise the dead, then what is he gonna do to these Romans, right? What is he gonna do, right? It's time for that kingdom to come. He's gonna come and he's gonna free us. That is what a lot of the disciples wanted, right? That's what they were looking for. And when they started hearing these other messages, that's not exactly the way this is gonna work. They didn't want to have anything to do with him. Jesus wasn't looking to be popular. He came to show the world how to get to his kingdom. And you don't reach God's kingdom by being popular or by getting the most likes. We see this in a couple of places. One in Luke 17, it says, being asked by Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, the kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed. Nor will they say, look here, it is, or there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you. They were looking for this physical place, right? They were thinking of the flesh. They were thinking of physical things on earth. And Jesus said, no, that's not where the kingdom of God is. That's not how you get it. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, not by might nor my power, but my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. The kingdom of God is in all of us and can only be granted through the Spirit. And this was not something that a lot of these followers couldn't grasp. They couldn't comprehend. So he was losing people, right? People were leaving. John MacArthur says, a dozen men under the power of the Holy Spirit are a more potent force than the teeming masses whose initial enthusiasm for Jesus was apparently provoked by little more than sheer curiosity. See, likes are fleeting, right? Being on Twitter is, those words are, they're not there forever, right? Jesus wasn't looking for the quick win. He was looking to save our earthly lives. He wasn't looking to save our earthly lives. He wanted to save our souls for the Father. This wasn't about what was going to happen here on earth. It was about our eternal lives. And people didn't want to hear that. They were turning away. The populist approach was not the way to go. And Jesus knew this, right? Jesus knew that wasn't going to happen. This was all part of the plan. And so he knew, right, though? Time was getting short. He was actually halfway through his ministry. If you take his ministry life before he called the apostles, he was almost halfway through. But as the crowds began to turn on him and the Pharisees really started to put pressure on him, Jesus knew time was starting to run out. He knew that, it was getting close for him to fulfill his mission. But he also knew that he needed to leave people behind to take what he was doing and move it forward, right? Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. But if there's no one left to really share that message and to bring that forward, he needed leaders to continue this earthly ministry once he was gone. And he needed to pour into them, he needed to train them, and he needed to teach them. And that word pour is something that I always think about, pouring into. This is a word we use sometimes, right? How do we, I need to pour into people, right? And what does that mean? And so I got a little demonstration. We're going to talk about that. So we got some cups, right? So I saw this once, and I just thought this was great. So if you think about it, Jesus could have poured into as many people as he wanted to, right? He was God. God can do anything he wants to do. But a lot of what he did when he came down to earth, right, and became man was, he showed us the way. He gave us a roadmap on how we should be and how we should pour into others. And so, if we come to church, let's say on Sunday, and we come in and we're sitting here and we're listening to Chris speech, right, preach and whatever. I mean, we get poured into, but eventually we're full. There's nowhere else, right? No matter what we do, we could pour more water into here, but what's going to happen? It's just going to fall over, right? There's nothing else we can take. We've got to be able to empty that. How do we empty that? Well, we pour into others. Now, if we think about it, if we tried to pour into a lot of different people, I'm going to drop those. I'm going to get some more. Right? I mean, how full are these cups going to get if I try to pour into everybody? Right? There's only so much I can put into each person, right? Before I'm empty. It's going to take me a long time to fill these cups up, right? I mean, I'm already running out of water. And I still have... Now I got to go back. I got to fill back up again, right? Jesus, right? He didn't pour into 50 people, 100 people, 2,000 people, right? He chose 12. And by choosing 12, right, he's able to... We're able to do a lot more, right? We're able to fill these up a lot faster. And because we're emptying ourselves, we now have room to fill ourselves back up and to learn more and to grow. And really, this is what Jesus is showing us with how he called his 12 apostles. Now, a lot of times when we read the reading the Bible, a lot will think that, you know, when they're reading through it, that, you know, when Jesus went to Matthew and said, "Follow me," right? He got up and followed him. That was when he became an apostle. But it really wasn't. There's a lot of different phases. And if we really look through each of the Gospels, we can see different interactions and different times where Jesus was meeting and talking with these guys well before, right, he made them an apostle. So there's these different phases. And so we're going to go through the phases here of how, because this is our roadmap, right? If we are to following Jesus' way, right? This is his roadmap. This is how he developed the apostles, and this is what we can do as well. So phase one was conversion, right? He had to bring him into his fold. And John 1, 35 through 40, we see where he does this with some apostles we know very well. So he says, the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. That's John the Baptist. Was standing with two of his disciples, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." So the two disciples heard him saying this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you'll see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speaking and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We found the Messiah," which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You shall be called Cephas." He just invited him to hang out. They said, "Hey, we heard you've been doing some good stuff." And he invited him to just come hang out with him. "Where are you staying? Come hang out with me today. Come to church with me today. Let's go just hang out." His goal right then was just to get him into the fold, right? At this point, these guys were just disciples like anybody else. They were just following him. But then he takes it a step further. So if we go back to Luke 5, and we talked about, right, when Jesus had gotten into Simon's boat and had him pull away from the shore so he could preach, well, when he was done, he turned to them and said, "Hey, why don't you throw out your nets?" And they said, "Well, why?" They said, "We've been fishing all night. We didn't catch anything." And he said, "Go ahead, throw out your nets." And they threw out their nets, and they brought in this huge bounty of fish. And they were like, "Oh, my gosh." And they were so amazed. But then Jesus said this in Luke 5, 10 and 11. He said, after he had told them to throw out the nets, Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So Peter had met him, right? They'd met. They'd had a conversation, you know. Sometime later, he's walking along the shore, and he ends up in Simon's boat. And now he calls Simon to ministry. He says, "Hey, now that you're in my fold and you're here, come serve with me." And we do that here at church, right? So as we come in, you know, we serve, we help with setup, we help with greeting, we help with ushering, we help with food. Right? There's different ministries. There's things that we as churchgoers do. So we come in, we're followers of Christ, and then we felt we're called to some sort of ministry. But then Jesus takes it a step farther then. So then is when he makes them apostles. And in Luke 12, 16, it says this, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when they came, he called his disciples and chose from them 12, who he named apostles. Simon, who he named Peter, and Andrew, his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, who was called the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. There's a lot to unpack in this verse. There's a few things we really want to talk about. So first of all, we've got, what did Jesus do? So what was the first thing Jesus did here, right? Did Jesus just start walking around going, okay, you, and you, you, you. Yeah, y'all go, you guys come with me. No, right? He went and sought advice. He went to his father. He went and he prayed. And this wasn't like a short, you know, Father, what should I do? Thank you. Okay, amen, right? What do you do? He prayed all night. So we're talking like 10, 12 hours of prayer. Him just sitting there conversing with the Father. Because he, you know, this was a big decision, right? The 12 people that were going to be chosen were the 12 people who were going to take this ministry, take the message, the good news of the gospel, and make sure that it became the revolution that it became. So they had to make sure they were choosing the right people. Now, we know, you know, God knew who he was going to choose, right? But a lot of these things are examples, right? These are things we can still do when we're making decisions, right? Are we turning to God? Are we looking for advice? Are we really putting the time in to think through these decisions? I can't imagine sitting praying for 10 or 12 hours. I'm sure I'd fall asleep. But it is, you know, but just to put that in, to really think through that, to do that is something that, you know, just shows the commitment and how important this was. So why 12, right? It says he pointed 12. Now, for any of us, who know the history of Israel, right? There were how many tribes? 12 tribes, right? So choosing 12 was very symbolic and something that meant something a lot in that day, right? The 12 tribes. The Jewish faith back in Jesus' time was corrupt, right? You had the Pharisees, you had the Sanhedrin. They had piled on just a lot of their own human rules, right? Legalism, something we talked about, that Chris talked about last week, right? And legalism and these human rules and if you do this, you got to do that. And this was just being piled on and it was just corrupt. And so for Jesus to appoint 12 was really appointing new leadership, right? He was casting off the religious leaders of the time and saying, this is new leadership for the new covenant and for what's to come. So 12 really had a symbolic meaning. The other thing we see in this passage as well is he said he called these 12 and he called them his apostles. And a lot of times we'll see that apostles and disciple is sometimes used interchangeably, but they're actually different. There's a lot of people who are disciples, but not everybody is an apostle. So when we talk about disciples, the word disciple means to follow. It's a student, a learner. So Jesus had many disciples. He had lots of people who were coming and following him and learning from him, consuming from him, learning, you know, getting from him, but that's all they were doing, right? They were just gathering information, and their cups would get full. And once their cups were full, that's all, you know, they were kind of like, okay, now what? Now what do I do, right? But apostle, or the word apostolato, means to send out. So these 12, while they were his disciples and they'd come to learn, Jesus said, but now I'm calling you to send you out. They were sent ones. Also, the word apostolos, and I can't say that right either, okay, is that time, in that time conveyed an idea of a delegate or an ambassador. there's actually an exact parallel of the word in Aramaic called the Shaliah. And the Shaliahs were the official ambassadors of the Sanhedrin, which was the ruling councils of Israel, right? So these people were, if they were out and they were conducting business, people knew that they were conducting business officially for Israel and for the ruling council. And so for Jesus to use this word was saying, these 12, these are my ambassadors, these are my delegates. I'm sending these out. If they're speaking, they're speaking for me and on my behalf. So the way Jesus called 12 and the terms he used in calling 12 was something that's very familiar and meant very, very specific things to the people of the times. And he really, he empowered these 12. In Matthew, when Matthew talks about calling the disciples, he starts at his, or the apostles, he starts and says, he called him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. He gave them the authority to heal the sick. He gave them authority to help others. So these 12 had something that others did not, and he was giving them. But he knew that he had to make sure that they were trained up. So really this phase here, this apostleship phase, is really their internship, right? He's going to teach them, right? He brings them in. He teaches them. What does he do, right? You see several times he sends them out, and others as well, right? Sends them out, tells them what to do. They come back. They kind of talk through it. Let's digest. How'd that go? Did it go good? Did it go bad? What could you learn? What could you do differently? Okay, let's go do it again, right? And so there, you see him going and training them and teaching them on how to reach out, how to evangelize, and how to spread this gospel, even though at the time they have no idea what they're doing and why it's so important. And so really there was a fourth phase there at the end, right? You know, as Jesus is getting ready to descend into heaven, right? And he proclaims the Great Commission. You know, go out and make disciples. For them, that was really a call to martyrdom. All but one, right, ended up martyring themselves for Jesus. And so while we are not always called to martyrdom, we are called for sacrifice. And so in those phases, you know, are those things we're doing. So who were these 12 men that Jesus called? Well, we need to think, right? We just talked about it. This is big, right? Big, a lot of work to be done. Jesus was going to leave and he had to reach the masses. So, right, as he's sitting here praying, right, he's probably thinking, okay, I'm going to call the religious leaders of the time. I'm going to call the best businessmen, those people who have power and influence, and the governmental leaders. I mean, I want to bring in people who can reach others quickly. And, you know, and who have that ability to, you know, who have a crowd, who have influence, who can bend people's ears, right? But he didn't call any of those people. One thing we know, right, there is not one religious leader, not one person who is part of the religious establishment in this 12. Why? Because like we said, this was a judgment against the current establishment. This was a new covenant. Now, Jesus called. Most of them were fishermen, right? Just humble fishermen. These were not people who were necessarily well thought of. These were laborers. These were people who had common jobs. One was a terrorist, and another one was a tax collector. These were people who most people did not look well upon, did not think highly of. And if we dig farther into who these 12 are, there's things we can see over and over again as Jesus is going and talking. One, they were thick-headed. They couldn't get it. Jesus would talk to them, they'd tell them, and they would ask questions, and he would say, how many times do I got to say this? They just couldn't get it through their thick skulls. They lacked humility. How many times do we see them going, Jesus, who's number one? Am I your favorite? Like a bunch of kids, right? Am I your favorite? Am I number one? They weren't humble. They lacked faith. They lacked commitment. We see that in Peter, right? He denies Jesus three times. He didn't believe in him. He wasn't committed. and they lacked power. They had no standing. They weren't educated men. They weren't up in society. They had no power. Sounds like a pretty ragtag group of guys, huh? So why would Jesus choose these 12? Why these? I mean, how are they going to spread his message? The answer really is simple, and we see it in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, right? And that is that God's strength's made perfect in our weakness. This wasn't about these men. This couldn't be about them. This was about the message. The power of the message is what was important. Jesus chooses the humble, the lowly, the meek, and the weak so that there's never any question about the source of power when their lives change to the world. It is not the man. It is the truth of God and the power of God in the man. That's from John MacArthur. Wish I could say I wrote it. But read again, right? It's not the man. It's the truth of God and the power of God in the man. These 12 ragtag group of men who really had not a lot in common, who were, you know, simple men, angry men who were looked down upon. They became great spiritual leaders. They became great preachers. But it was under the power of the Holy Spirit. Where do we see him? Right after, you know, after Jesus rises from up into heaven, right? They go back into a room and they sit and they huddle up and they pray. And they pray, right? They don't go out. Jesus said, go out and make disciples. Did they run out? No, they can't. They were scared. They huddled in the room. They didn't know what to do. It wasn't, though, until that day in Pentecost, right? God sent the Spirit. And what happened? 3,000 converted that day. Was it because of those men? It's because of the Spirit that he put them in him. Their influence is owed for one thing and one thing only. And that is the power of the message they preached. Now next week, we're going to spend some time looking at each of these apostles in depth, right? Each one was a little different. Each one brought their own little characteristic to the table. And and as we dig in, we can see why Jesus talked and chose each of them. But the question I want to leave you guys with today is this, and that is, are you a disciple? Are you a consumer? Do you come here on Sundays? Do you go to your community groups? And are you just consuming? Or are you a sent one? Are you an apostle? Are you taking what you've learned? Are you taking what's being poured in? And are you going out and pouring into others? Are you helping find those and convert and bring others into the fold? Are you finding those who are lost and saying, hey, come hang out? And then calling them into ministry so that they can then become apostles and they can go out and they can go find the lost. One of the things that Chris and I saw a few weeks ago, we were at a conference, and Chris is going to preach on it this fall, but I think it's something that's pretty cool. It was just really impactful to us. And the question was this, and it was this whole big kind of campaign, and that is this: who is your one? Who is your one? Who is that person in your life that you could connect to? Who is that one person? Not looking for five, not looking for 12. Just who is your one? And so I'm looking forward to us to talk a little bit more about that. And one of the things that Chris and I were talking about doing this series, and as I was digging into it, and something we've been talking about too, is, you know, how do we, as Grace Point, as a church, follow this map? How do we continue to help convert, call the ministry, build apostles, and send out? Something that we talk about a lot is, you know, we have a heart for church planting. We want to be able to send people out, people, you know, whatever that calling may be. And so that is something that, you know, definitely in our hearts and something that we're continuing to talk about and that I know over the next few months we'll continue to dig into. But, you know, just as we look at this and we think, if these 12 men can do this with the Holy Spirit, if we have the Holy Spirit, why can't we? God will use us. God will use us how he wants us. God will use us how he needs us to. If we just let go and let him guide us, we too can be part of that revolution that these 12 men started 2,000 years ago and continue to the message of love and grace that comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. So with that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this day, this chance to come together, to hear your word, just so thankful for the example that Jesus has provided us in his earthly mission, in his earthly time here on earth. You know, his goal here was to save us from our sins by dying on the cross. But during his time here, he taught us so much and provided us an example of how we can continue, how we should live our lives, how we should just continue with that mission and with the charge you gave us, Lord, just to share your gospel, the good news that we, if we just accept Jesus, Lord, that we can have a relationship with you, that we can come to know you, Lord, and that we know we can be saved and have eternal life. We just want to pray for a great week, safe travels for Pastor Chris, for all those who are traveling during the summer months, and we just want to pray for a great week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.